You know, raising a child is a great responsibility. And God has much to teach us through His Word. The Bible shows us how to train our children and what to teach our children. We turn to Proverbs 22, verse 6. Proverbs 22. The Proverbs has a lot to say about raising our children. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And the title of the message is, Train Up a Child in the Way He Should Go. You know, God is our heavenly spiritual father. We might not have had good parents or knowledgeable parents or godly parents, but God is our heavenly spiritual father, and he gives us his book of how to live and also how to train our children according to his instructions and his way of life. Proverbs 29 and verse 15, we have a grave responsibility and also towards our grandchildren. You know, our children have children, and we should be involved also in the training of our grandchildren or helping our children bring up their grandchildren in the ways of God. Proverbs 29 and verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. You know, our children are a reflection of us. And when our children misbehave in public, people are looking to the parents, and it's shameful to the parents. And but the rod and reproof, or instruction, gives wisdom. The rod. We'll get to the rod a little later. Some try to minimize the rod. What is the rod? You know, we don't hit our children. We don't discipline our children that way. But we're going to see, yes, we do. And it's critical that we discipline our children when they're young. So, well, the word rod is 7626 in the concordance, and it means a stick for punishing. But some like to say, oh, it's just a shepherd's stick, you know, just move the sheep along, you know. But no, it's a stick for punishment, as we're going to say, for punishing. So we don't want to leave a child to themselves because without training, because they will bring shame to us. You know, if you're not training your child, someone is, and you know who that is? Satan. Either God's your father, spiritual father, or Satan is your spiritual father. So those that don't have God in their life who are not teaching their children God's ways of life, their children are learning Satan's way of life from this world. If you turn to John 8 and verse 41. John 8 and verse 41. Jesus said to the Pharisees and the Jews, "You do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We're not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." And Jesus says, "Well, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning," maybe referring to Cain and Abel, "and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." And you know, our children today are really going off course in terms of having manners and integrity. And being a school teacher for many years, I've interacted with thousands of young people. Amen. Too many of them are liars. They're habitual liars. And, you know, they do something wrong, they won't admit it. And they'll keep denying it, and they'll try to get you in trouble, you know, because you're accusing them. And they won't own up to the fact, even if you know, we have a camera there, no, that wasn't me, whatever it is. You know, it's too much lying. And this continues, you know, this continues as a pattern of life if it's not corrected. And Satan is the father of lies. And it's important to remember that God hates lying, Proverbs 6. He hates a lying tongue. And it also says in the scripture that liars will not be in the kingdom of God. We're talking about habitual liars. But after a while, you know, you just start to lie for this, lie for that. And you can't keep track of your lies anymore. And, you know, basically your reputation is diminished as one who cannot be trusted and one who is a liar. And unfortunately, too many of our children fall into this way of Satan. You know, John 12, 31 says, Satan is the ruler of this world. And so, you know, we have to realize that. Most people don't realize that. They think, you know, there's a battle between Satan and God is losing. Or they wonder, you know, what is God doing? You know, is he sleeping? How can he be the God of God when all this chaos is taking place in the world? So they don't understand the biblical explanation for why we are in this state and why Satan is the ruler of this world and why and the gospel of Jesus Christ returning and sending up the kingdom of God. If you go to Ephesians 2 and verse 2, our children are very influenced by Satan, as anybody is who doesn't have God in their life. And as parents, we need to teach our children God's way of life. Ephesians 2 and verse 2. This is a very good tie in Mr. Nowaka's message. It's like a continuation. And that is a great blessing from God. And Ephesians 2 and verse 2. We didn't talk or plan anything, you know. This is God's doing. Ephesians 2 and verse 2. Paul says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. And you know, we are God's children too. So he's not just talking about young children. He's talking about God's children, which we would be included. The children of disobedience, and also the whole world, really, that the world that doesn't know God. So Satan is the ruler of this world, and he influences the sons of disobedience. He influences through the media, through this world's attitudes, through this world's values, which reflect on Satan. And Satan influences us through the school system, unfortunately. They threw the Bible out in the 1960s with Supreme Court rulings and prayer. They threw that out of the schools. And what's coming into the schools now? Teaching our young children about how good homosexuality, how acceptable homosexuality is, how we have to allow transgenders to use our bathrooms, the bathroom of their adopted gender. We have to allow men to compete, who, if they say they're women, to compete in sports with women. That's fine. You know, it's okay to have some drag queens coming into a kindergarten class and reading books to the children. But don't read the Bible. Teachers not even allowed to have a Bible on their desk. I guess if they have it in a drawer, you know, and when they're on a break, they can read it. But it can't be visible anywhere, or they'll be reprimanded. So our school system God's been taken out of our school system, and you know, young children and children in the school system used to pray every morning, And they used to have Bible classes. They used to use the Bible in English, for example, English class. They used to have the Ten Commandments, perhaps, on a wall of the school. All that is gone. We see Satan's influence in movies. Our children see these movies, and you know, Disney likes to now put in this homosexuality in some of the characters, the cartoon characters or animated characters, in their movies. And so they're going to see it in the movies. They're going to see it on television. They're going to hear music, which is inappropriate. They're going to, when they're on the internet, you know, they can be influenced to go on sites where they shouldn't go. Video games, forget it. Some of these video games are just terrible in terms of teaching our children. And basically, they teach our children that evil is good and good is evil, really. And the, you know, the characters, you know, you could be someone who is killing police officers and going around and robbing, and that's, you know, that's the nature of that game, and encourages that to win the game, to do evil. It's terrible, and these influences. And let's not forget, our children, their peers, they begin to look on other children of their age, and they began to make friends, and they began to be influenced. If you're not teaching them strong values, they're going to be following the values of the children, their peers, their age group, where they're going to school and where they're hanging out. And so Satan's thoughts and influences are going to be part of their way of life. But then when we see that at home, we have to do something about it. We can't just ignore it. Proverbs 20 and verse 11. Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20 and verse 11. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure or whether it be right. So yes, so in other words, again, very similar to an earlier scripture I read in Proverbs, that a child is known by his deeds. So people, they've made opinions of our children by the way they see them behave, by the way they see them talk. Too many children today use profanity, and it's like, how come? Because they hear it at home. And so it becomes part of their vocabulary. And so we have to teach our children. They're known by their deeds. And unfortunately, too many of our children today are liars. And they're known to be liars. They're dishonest. They use profanity. They lack manners. They don't know words like please and thank you. They don't have respect for elders or even their parents. They lack morals, and they're sexually promiscuous at a young age, even before puberty. So we must be teaching our children God's moral and ethical laws of behavior, and so they can become more Christ-like. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6. God says, "And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart," talking about God's commandments, "and you shall teach them diligently unto your children." Diligently means you got to work at it. Diligently. "And shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontals between your eyes, and you shall write them upon the posts of your home and on your gates. And so God is telling us that we have to be consistent, we have to be diligent in teaching our children God's ways of life, God's commandments, be walking in God's ways of life. There's a prophecy in Isaiah 3 that has to do, I believe, with what's going on today. Isaiah 3 and verse 4. Isaiah 3 and verse 4. Now he's talking about Israel and Judah here, but this is also for the end time. And he says, God says, and I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. Verse 5. And the people shall be oppressed, everyone by another, and everyone by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient. Do we see that? We see children disrespecting older people, disrespecting people in authority. And will behave proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. And verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. So children are their oppressors. And so I think we're reaching that point in time, or we've reached it. Because let's face it, the millennials, they don't know much about God, it seems. So if you don't have godly parents, you know, you're just going to drift, and you're going to be influenced again by Satan's world. And you're going to err in this life, and you're going to not develop godly character. Our children need to develop integrity, but first the parents have to have integrity. And you know, if one parent is converted, your children are holy. So children are holy based on the fact that they haven't yet accepted Christ, perhaps, or been baptized because they're too young, but because there's at least one converted person in the household, the children are holy, the scripture says. So there's an angel there's an angel side to them to watch over them. But we have to teach our children integrity. What's integrity? Integrity is a firm adherence to a code of moral laws. A firm adherence to a code of moral laws. And those moral laws are found in the Bible, in the commandments of God. And God gives everyone a conscience, which helps us determine what is right and wrong. So if your conscience is influenced by God's Holy Spirit, you're going to be able to discern what's right and wrong, what's good and evil, and to act accordingly. But if your conscience if you don't have the Holy Spirit of God, your conscience is going to be influenced by what you can get away with, rather than what is right and wrong. Well, it might be, yes, okay, this is wrong, but everybody's doing it. Everybody's cheating on their taxes. So I'm going to do it too. And sometimes after a while, your conscience will become seared. In other words, you do wrong and you don't care. And as long as you're benefiting from it. And that's how come we have serial killers, and that's how come we have people who rob and steal and want to hurt others. So what is part of integrity? Well, we have to teach our children to be honest. Honesty is part of integrity. Not to lie, always to be truthful to the parents particularly, and to everyone really. But, you know, you have to own up to what you did. You did something wrong, you need to own up to it and not cover it up. That needs to be taught. and as part of honesty, not cheating. You know, as a school teacher, every time I gave a test, though, I always worried about cheating, because they were, you know, the students did not have this instilled in them of honesty and hard work, and so they would want to copy answers, particularly multiple choice, from other students. And then when you accuse them of cheating, they deny it, they lie, and then they want to get you in trouble. They, you know, oh, he doesn't like me, he's harassing me. As part of honesty, you keep your word. Again, you're not lying, you're keeping your word. You say you're gonna do something, you do it. Even to your own hurt. You know, like maybe in the church, you know, you say, okay, I'm gonna go visit so-and-so, and you tell the person, but when the time, in the hospital, let's say, when the time comes, I don't feel like, the flesh is saying, oh, I don't feel like going today. Oh, somebody else will go. Well, I'll put it off, you know. You keep your word, even to your own hurt, even though it's inconvenient, even though it might cost you money, even though it's something that you changed your mind on, you know, you keep your word. That's honesty. And let's not forget the ninth commandment, right? The ninth commandment? What's the ninth commandment? you should not bear false witness, right? So we gotta teach our children, we're not to lie, we're not to accuse other people of things that they didn't do. And we're not to lie about things that we see, things that we witness. You should not bear false witness. Proverbs 6 and verse 17. Proverbs 6. I mentioned this proverb earlier, but I'll just show you. Proverbs 6 and verse 17. Seven things God hates. Yeah, God hates sin. Not the sinner, but the sin. And what does God hate? He hates, in Proverbs 6, verse 17, a proud look, a lying tongue. And verse 19, he hates a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among brethren. So honesty, that's part of integrity. Another part of integrity is respecting others, being kind, serving others, not prideful. The fifth commandment. What's the fifth commandment? Well, let's go to Ephesians 6 and verse 1. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So this commandment is there's a promise by God. If you honor your father and mother, you will live long on the earth. So there's, but it says also, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So as fathers and mothers, we have to be careful that we're not being overly harsh. And then when we're disciplining and teaching our children, we're teaching them in love, and we're disciplining them in love. Otherwise, children will rebel, and they will have wrath towards the parents, particularly if they feel that they're being treated unfairly. Romans 12 and verse 10. Romans 12 and verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. So if we're respecting others, we have to be kindly affectioned with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. in verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. So we should be living peaceably with all men. Now, as much as possible, it says. So there are going to be some people that are not going to want peace with you, but you have to do your part. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. So we have to teach our children this, you know. They're not to, somebody does something to them, they're not to do the same thing back to them or to try to get revenge. Therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. Yeah, you know, people that don't like us, if we do good things for them, they can't take that. That's very harsh for them to So be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And another way we respect others is by we control our tongues. However, the Bible says we can't control our tongues. Because in James in verse 3, but we have to do the best we can, and with God's help, we have to try to use our words to uplift people and not to put them down. James 3, verse 2. And too often children are putting each other down, and even adults too, with sarcasm, making fun of people who might be different. James 3, verse 2. So if we're going to be respectful, it's actions, but also in the tongue. And we have to teach our children that. We have to teach our children to use the words please and thank you. And in James 3, verse 2, why am I having a hard time? Okay. James 3, verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it boasts great things. You know, too many children are very boastful and prideful adults. They're boastful. And they lie and they're boasting. Even though the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. So words through the tongue can set fire to matters. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. So we have to be aware of how we speak and the words we use. And that includes profanity. We should not be using profanity. You know, that sets a bad example. Nobody's going to believe we're a Christian if we're, you know, using the F word and if we're talking like people talk in the world. We have to set the right example. And our children also, remember, they're a reflection of us. So we have to teach our children, and this is most important, to speak and uplift people, encourage people, and not put down people. Not to talk about people behind their back, their teachers, their principal, not to their friends, but to be truthful and uplifting. So, and to respect people in authority, very important. For children to respect their teachers, for children to respect police officers, and whoever has authority, to respect them. And not to be rebellious. Remember, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Another part of being developing integrity is to walk away from evil temptations. We have to train our children so that they're strong in the word and they know what's right or wrong, and they can walk away from evil temptations. You know, their friend at school, let's go graffiti the bathroom. Oh yeah, okay, that sounds good. Let's go steal this guy's book bag or her book bag. I saw her put some money in there. Let's go after school. Let's go pick out this nerd here that's in our classroom. Let's go rob a house. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. Proverbs 1 and verse 8 deals with this. Proverbs 1. And remember, Proverbs is Solomon. He's writing this to his son, probably Rehoboam. And he wants Rehoboam to have wisdom. In Proverbs 1 and verse 8, he says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father and forsake not the law of your mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto your head and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Come on, join us, and we will have one purse. My son, walk, don't do it. Walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird." So, in other words, we have to walk away from evil temptations. And believe me, as a child, you're going to be influenced many times to do evil. So we have to teach our children to do what is right, and we have to teach them wisdom. The last thing about integrity that I wanted to mention in teaching our children is to avoid sexual immorality. It's terrible that these young children, how they're overly exposed to sex and sexuality. And it's incredible to me how some schools are not letting parents know that their children, whether it's say a male child believes he's a female, and they're not telling the children. In fact, they're encouraging the children to help them to deal with this. And it was just in California, some school board voted to pass a resolution that they must inform parents in these situations. And the state has Governor Newsom, it must be some kind of regulation, he went down on this school district and he fined them a large sum of money because they were not complying with the directive. So you have evil in all aspects of life, particularly in our government, and so parents, the government wants to raise your child, and we can't let that happen. And you need to get involved in your school district and find out what's going on, and find out what they're teaching your children. But we have to teach our children to avoid sexual immorality. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18. "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is without the body. But he that commits fornication sins against his own body. What? Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So this is talking about people who are converted and have the Holy Spirit. Definitely, you know, they're tempted. We're tempted too, you know. So, but when we're in a situation, we don't want to put ourselves in a situation where we're tempted and we succumb. You know, we should think of Joseph, right? Joseph, when part of his wife wanted to have sexual relations with him, he avoided that. But one time he was alone with her in the house, and she threw himself upon him, and he what did he do? He fled. He got out of there. So if you're in a situation alone with a woman in a house or whatever, and she's coming on to you or whatever, or vice versa, you know, you have to be strong enough spiritually. So you would you get up and you say, well, I got to go have an appointment or whatever, and you leave, you flee. Avoid sexual immorality. Young people go to parties all the time, and when they get a little older, and they're influenced by alcohol and fortunately drugs. You know, marijuana is legal in New York State, so we have to teach, and a big part of it is to teach our children to respect the opposite sex. Teach our young boys to respect women, to look at girls, to look at girls as not sexual objects, to teach them the right, and to look at in girls to respect boys and not try to take advantage of them. So that's all part of developing healthy attitudes towards the opposite sex. And Matthew 5 and verse 27, Matthew 5 and verse 27, Jesus says, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So we see the spiritual laws of God in the new covenant, and now you even lust after a woman, you're breaking the commandment. If you're married, you're breaking the commandment of adultery. So we have to teach our children to avoid sexual immorality. So we have to try to get them to, but first we have to have that integrity in order to teach it, and it comes from the Bible. Develop integrity, teach our children honesty, respecting others, walking away from evil temptations, and avoiding sexual immorality. Now God says that it's necessary to physically discipline our children. I know the powers that be, that's not politically correct to discipline your children. And I'm talking about corporal punishment, spanking, for example. Did you know that 17 states, in 17 states in the United States, it's legal, corporal punishment is legal in public schools, and it's legal in all private schools except New York and Iowa. I wouldn't have expected Iowa to be the exception. But so in these 17 states, you can use corporal punishment against with children. Many times they don't do it, or it's very restricted. They'll have the dean inflict the punishment. They'll get the parents to agree to it, and usually it's paddling on the behind. But that's still on the books and practiced it can be practiced it's legal in 17 states. So the idea that children should not be disciplined physically is not a biblical principle. If you go to Proverbs 13 and verse 24, our children are learning the ways of the world. Children 3, 4, 5 years old, when a parent tries to discipline them, they tell the parent, I'm calling 911. I'm calling the police on you. What do you do? Where do they hear that? Well, in school, in the daycare center, wherever it might be. And, we can't tolerate that. We cannot tolerate that type of an attitude. Proverbs 13, 24. Proverbs 13, 24. Proverbs 13 and verse 24. He that spares his rod, remember the rod? The rod's a stick. He that spares his rod hates his son, hates his daughter. Now, as a parent, you know, I never wanted to discipline my children corporally like this. I didn't want to hit them. You know, the old adage, it hurts me more than it hurts you. it's kind of true, and emotionally, because you're not going to, you know, you're just shaming your children, kind of. You're not gonna hurt them or bruise them physically, but it's hard. And so sometimes a parent will say, I'll let it go, you know. But no, you know, we gotta do what God tells us to do. He that spares his rod hates his son. You just let your children do whatever they wanna do, and discipline time comes. I mean, it's appropriate to give the child a time out, okay, go to your room. Oh, I'm taking this, I'm taking that, he can't use the computer, he can't use the cell phone. That's all good, but spanking and corporal punishment is essential in disciplining young children. He that spares his rod hates his son, but he that loves him chastens him betimes, or at times, chastens him. Let's not forget this. Proverbs 23, verse 13. Proverbs 23. And verse 13. Withhold not correction from the child. This is talking about the rod. For if you beat him with the rod, he shall not die. See what God is telling us? If you beat him with the rod, he's not going to die. Now, of course, you just beat him. It doesn't mean you're going to hurt him, but you're disciplining him in love. And if you love your child, you got to discipline them when they're young. Because train up a child in the way he should go. Because if you don't do it, Satan's going to have a hold on your child. And it'll just get worse when the child gets older and gets rebellious, and when he's too big to really discipline him or her. Isn't that pretty plain? If you beat him with the rod, he shall not die. In other words, it's you have to do it, you know, to save him or her from themselves and from this world. You got to instill that, the values. And many times it's through a paddle. It's through spanking when they're young. Proverbs 22 and verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Yes, young children are foolish, right? You think about your own childhood. Think about some of the dangerous things you did, some of the places you went where you shouldn't have went, some of the things you did that you shouldn't have done. And then only by God's grace, perhaps, you weren't killed or hurt, or maybe you were hurt and you learned your lesson. So foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction should drive it far from him. I mean, if a child does something foolish, and, you know, you speak to them and you tell them, you know, in love, why you shouldn't do that. If they do it again, you know, then it's time for the rod. It's time for correction. It's time for correction. So children do foolish things that could cause harm to themselves and others. And others, too. They often act impulsively, right? Remember, as a child, you do things and you don't really think about it. Many times they don't think of the consequences. And children can develop rebellious and defiant attitudes. So remember Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Set the right example of godly behavior with your children. And also, let's not forget our grandchildren.